If you remember, just a few weeks ago, I introduced you to Phil via a picture with his family. Phil is our new executive pastor here at Mosaic Church. Now, not so new anymore, a few weeks in, and it feels like you've been here forever, man. I got to tell you, it's awesome. So, but this is his family live in with you guys. So I just wanted you guys to meet them. Amy over here is Phil's wife, and then Lily over there, and Eve and Simon. Simon, what's up, buddy? Double-double. Love that. So these guys... have been down here since the beginning of July, moved from upstate New York and came down here to join our story as we join into their story and to see what God is going to do through that. And this morning, you guys are going to have the privilege of hearing from Phil and hearing what God has been doing in and through his family all of this time. So I can't wait. I've had the privilege to hear it a couple times already, and you guys are in for a real treat. But I thought it would be really great for us as a church, instead of just going, yeah, it's great to have you guys here, that we would actually, as a church, just really pray for these guys corporately together. So what I'd love to do is I'm going to lay hands on these guys and pray for them. And if this is your home church and you'd like to participate in this in a tangible way, then I just ask you to just kind of take your hand and kind of stretch it out to Phil and his family and just say, I'm going to, as Renaud prays, I'm just going to agree with that and pray with these guys and tangibly just reach my hand out and just show that I'm in this. So would you pray with me for the Taylor family? Let's just do that together as a church. God, thanks so much for the Taylors and for the extraordinary story that you unfolded to get them here. And God, I'm just so grateful that as we enter into this time, that we're going to get to see again just how majestic you are and how involved you are in our lives and what an amazing story you're writing. God, as they travel into the newness of this place, I know that there are many exciting things, but also many challenging things. New schools, new friends, new church, new place, new climate, new culture, new everything. And God, I just pray that you would just be gracious to them in a mighty way, that you would make your face shine on them, that you would give them peace, that you would direct their steps each day, that you would comfort them in times where they just feel overwhelmed by all the newness, and that you would just excite them at times as they see the new adventure unfolding around them. And I just pray, God, that as you've brought them here, each one of them uniquely wired and designed to be part of this story, that you would use them mightily in our story to continue to expand the gospel here, and equally, God, that you would use us in their story, that they would not just be a family that you are working through, but a family that you are working in as well, through us. So I pray that as the years go forward, God, that they will shape us just as you intended them to, and we will shape them just as you intended us to, and together you will receive the glory from all of us as you work so beautifully in us. Be with these guys, bless them. God, glorify yourself through them as you already have. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Great to have you guys up here, and I'm going to hand over to Phil. Enjoy the ride.
All right, well, thank you, Renaud, for that great welcome. It's been great to be here and to spend the last few weeks kind of getting to know the staff. That's where I've been spending a lot of my time, just sort of getting to know them. And as I've been doing that, it's just been really cool to see what a unique team that God has called together for the staff here of Mosaic Church. I got to tell you, I talk to a lot of executive pastors around the country, and I get to kind of see little windows into their world. And we have a unique team that God has called together. They love you. They love the vision of Mosaic. And most of all, they love Jesus. And so I would just encourage you, if you know somebody who's on staff here at Mosaic, whether it's the person who makes you feel welcome out in the lobby, or the person who accepts your kids into the kids program, or an administrative person, whatever it might be, I would just encourage you to thank them over the next couple of days. Maybe you post on their Facebook wall. Maybe you send them a note, an email, send them a text, stop them in the lobby. But it's important that we do that with everybody who is serving here, because you've got a great group of people that are serving here and who love you very much. So Renaud said that I could preach on anything I wanted to today, which is, you know, very trusting of him, because he doesn't know me all that well just yet. He said two things, though. Whatever you're preaching on, I'd like you to, in the process of that, I would like you to help the people of Mosaic to get to know you a little bit in telling your story. And specifically, I would love for them to hear some of this crazy journey that God has had you on, that has brought you here to Mosaic Church. And so I'm going to do that a little bit today. And we have really been on just an incredible journey over the last 2 years. And it has been marked by a level of guidance from the Holy Spirit that I honestly have not experienced up until this point in my life. The journey over the last 2 years has really been that of prayer. It's been a journey of prayer. We all know that prayer is important. If you're here at church, you have some sense that prayer should be an integral part of your life. And we pray all the time about all sorts of things, and we probably receive guidance in all sorts of ways on those things. And we receive guidance on small things and large things as we go throughout our life. But if we were to kind of take a step back, pull the camera lens back and say, okay, of all the different things that God has given me guidance on over the years, what are the ones that really, really stand out? The ones that really just kind of, they pop out and you say, okay, that time, there is no way that I could question whether or not God was guiding me. It felt like he was just casting each step down and saying, okay, walk here, now turn here, now go over here. And you just look back and you go, that was God's story. Well, that number of times when you can describe it in that way, that's going to get a little bit smaller, right? At least it is for me. The first one in my life that really stands out is when I was in college. So we're going back about 20 years ago now. And I met my wife in college. Funny story how that happened. Her fiance lived across the hall from me. So you can see how that worked out for him. But seriously though, you know, when my wife and I first met, we were just friends, like for 2 years. We were just friends, had no romantic interest in each other whatsoever. And in fact, people would say, oh, you know, you guys should date. And we'd be like, ah, that would ruin our friendship. Why would we do that? And then 1 year, as the fall semester drew to a close and Christmas break approached, it seemed like over the course of a week, there were several unconnected people who I didn't even know who mistakenly thought that Amy was my girlfriend. Like, I was in the library one night studying, and this guy walks up to me. I have no idea who he was. And he says, where's your girlfriend? I'm in a class with her, and I need her notes from earlier today if she's around. And I'm like, I think you've got the wrong guy. I'm not actually dating anyone right now. But Amy, you know, the girl you're always with. Oh, Amy, right. No, we're not dating. But she does happen to be studying at this table. She just got up for a minute. She'll be back. And this just happened again and again over the course of a week leading up to the Christmas break. And I thought, you know, just on the off chance that God is trying to tell me something here, I'm just going to take some time and pray about this. I figured I've got a month off from school, 30 days, nice round number. And so I decided to take those 30 days and pray about whether or not Amy was somebody that I should be pursuing more than just a good friend. Well, at the end of those 30 days, I didn't walk away with giant fireworks exploding for Amy. I had put myself before the Lord and said, okay, it's good to be near God. I want to do that. And I came away saying, yeah, Amy is nice. I could maybe, you know. But I did, however, walk away with a very clear sense of one thing. And this is going to sound like it doesn't match up. I had this sense that I was supposed to pursue her with marriage as the goal. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do that. By the way, when I finally told her what I was thinking, she completely rejected me. Like full on, I don't really see it that way. It's not you, it's right. But I wore her down like a dripping faucet that just won't go away. I wore her down, and she finally gave in, and we've been married for 15 mostly wonderful years. So it's been good. And it all started with 30 days of focused prayer, right? Fast forward now about 5 years after marrying Amy. I had finished seminary. We had one child. I was serving as the lead pastor of an 8-year-old church plant in New York. And things were going well. God was blessing the church. We were growing. We were seeing people come to Christ. Leaders were being raised up. All the good stuff was going on. And yet, there was this little nagging part of my soul that said, you could do this for the rest of your days, but that's not what I have for you. I've actually created you to be something different than this. I've actually made you to be not in that lead pastor role, but in the second chair role, the executive pastor role. So I had to swallow my pride and begin to think and pray about that more. And we spent several months in prayer really seeking clear direction from God, and he gave that direction to us. It was during that season that God birthed in me a lifelong calling. This is what God spoke to me in that season of prayer. He said, "Your job, Phil, for the rest of your days is to come alongside of highly gifted communicator visionaries who have a potential to make a generational impact, but who on their own may lack the structural or organizational ability to pull that vision into its full reality, into its full scope and implementation." And that's who you're to come alongside of for the rest of your days. And out of that calling, I had the privilege of working with an amazing lead pastor named Ed Marcel as we planted a very unique multi-campus church in New York that really established a beachhead for church planting in the Northeast region as we started the Acts 29 network in the Northeast region. And over nearly a decade of working together, planting Terra Nova Church together and starting the Acts 29 network in the Northeast, we saw our region grow from just one church plant to 40 church plants in some of the least Christian and least reached cities in America. It was a wild ride, and I wouldn't trade any of it for anything. And yet, a little over 2 years ago, as I was actively rethinking and retooling our church to accommodate the growth that we were experiencing, and we were getting ready to become a multi-campus church like Mosaic is, in the midst of that, I began to have this uneasiness, this restlessness that I can only describe as a holy discontent. You know, holy discontent is different than some other kind of discontent. We're discontented about all sorts of things, right? We're discontented that, you know, the new iPhone hasn't come out or whatever silly things we might be discontented about. A holy discontent is like God is just birthing this in you. And so once again, my wife and I entered into a season of very focused prayer. Initially, we were simply asking for clarity on whether or not God was really asking us to leave this church that we had helped start and to leave New York and to leave the Northeast. And God confirmed that after 2 months of prayer. Oddly enough, he did it through a hurricane and a natural disaster. In fact, 2 years ago, this past week, August 28th, 2011, Hurricane Irene hit our area in New York, causing rivers to rise. The Hudson River rose 27 feet higher than it normally is, and it caused our basement to cave in. Now, for you Floridians, basements, they're these things that go under the building. You might have seen them in a movie or something, perhaps. What you do with basements is all that junk that you don't know what to do with, you just put it all in your basement. And then when you die, your kids rent a dumpster and they throw it all away. That's how that works. So our basement caves in, which was really fun. Those were good times. But remember, we've been asking God for clarity on our future. And so when this happened, it was like instantly we knew God was just sort of saying, I'm literally breaking through the walls of your life. How much more clarity would you like? And so we continued to pray. And I'm not saying that every time there's a tragedy that it's God trying to get your attention. Please don't hear that. I'm just saying that in this context, God used that as a part of our story to bring us to a new place. And it was in that moment that God guided me to a verse of Scripture that has really come to define and shape the last 2 years of our lives. It comes from Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. It's an amazing verse. It's become such an important verse for me. Listen to these words. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. And for us at that moment, it just felt like God was breaking up the soil of our lives, figuratively and literally. And he was calling us to enter into a new phase of pursuing God's Spirit. Like we knew we were functioning at one level, and he was saying, okay, it's time to go up to the next level. It's time to pick up the pace a little bit in your pursuit of me. We had some hard soil we had to break up. Have you ever seen those giant tractors that farmers use to break up the soil of a field that maybe hasn't been used in a while? you know, it's not a pretty process, right? There's like violent ripping at the ground, and there's dirt flying everywhere, and there's rocks being shot off in all kinds of places, and sometimes they have to bring in a brush hog to cut down all the weed trees that have grown up. It's not pretty. It's messy. It's loud. It's painful. But in the end, you're left with these nice rows of soil that are ready to be planted with new seeds, and they're ready to then let the rain come and the sun come and cause something new to grow. When God confirmed this new direction for us, he gave us clarity that he was planting some new seeds in our lives and he was getting us ready for some new growth. And in that, we received a very clear word from the Lord. And I don't use that term lightly, but we heard this direction. The direction was, you will be moving in 2 years' time. You'll be moving in the summer of 2013. Now, that doesn't happen very often when you hear God speak in that way, and yet it was so clear, and it lined up with so many different things. God said, don't worry about the details right now. Don't worry about where you're going to be or how it's all going to work out. Just know, 2 years from now, you're moving. Summer of 2013, you're moving. And so we continued to pray, and that season of prayer really lasted for much of the last 2 years. I think I've prayed more in the last 2 years than I did in the previous 36 years of my life. We needed to. You know, you look at the Old Testament prophet Nehemiah as he had this burden for the city of Jerusalem, and he described that burden, he described it as a sickness of the heart. He was so burdened that it made him feel sick in his soul. The psalmist David, who is never short on emotion, talks about tossing in his sleep in Psalm 56. And then in Psalm 88, he talks about how the words were on his lips the first moment he woke up in the morning. And that's how it felt for me during that season. That I would go to bed at night and I would have this burden on my heart for what God was getting us ready to do, even though I didn't know exactly what it was. And I would wake up in the morning and that same thing would be on my mind. I'd be praying about it as I went to sleep and praying about it as I woke up. And when God plants inside of you a burning sense of purpose and he whispers into your ear that it's time to trade the comfort of the known for the unknown, that it's time to trail away from the certainty of something that you've helped build and to go into something that somebody else built. And to trade the comfort of a team that you know so well and that trusts you and loves you and go and be with a team that doesn't know you and has no reason to trust you. When God tells you to pick up your family and take them out of the home that you've, the only home they've ever known, and move 20 hours south to a whole new culture, and a whole new place, a whole new church, you want to be ready to say yes. You want to be ready to say, okay, God, let's go. But if you're like me, you need some clarity on that before you move. You need a lot of clarity. And that was my prayer again and again. God, I will jump off of cliffs for you. I will trade the known for the unknown. I will step into uncertainty even though it's really not my personality to do so. But will you just make it clear for me? Will you just give me clarity? And God did give us clarity. My wife and I decided to go away for a week on kind of a combined solo spiritual retreat. I know combined solo doesn't really work, but it does. Just listen. So we went to a condo on Anna Maria Island in Florida. And we spent a week there, and we'd get up in the morning, and we'd walk on the beach and get coffee at this little cafe. And then we'd come back, and we'd spend the days apart, praying and reading scripture and pursuing God, and then we'd get back together at night and we'd talk about what God was teaching us, what he was showing us. We ditched our kids for that week, and it was great. It was great. I love my kids. I really do. I also love when I'm away from them for a week. And it was during this time that we were spending this week in Florida that God began to kind of hone in on the idea for us that he might be calling us to Florida. But here's the thing. When you get on a plane in Albany, New York at 6 a.m., and they have to de-ice the wings before they can even take off, And then just a few hours later, you find yourself in Florida, and you're sitting outside in shorts and a t-shirt, enjoying lunch, and the sun is shining on your face. It's kind of easy to think that you might be called to move to Florida, right? That's not really a stretch. And so even though there was this pull that was growing in our hearts towards Florida, personally, I rejected it because I thought, following God's will means doing things that you don't really want to do, right? Like moving to North Dakota. That would be following God's will, because why would anyone move to North Dakota? There's just nothing, and more nothing, and more nothing. So how could moving to Florida be a step of faith? And yet, in that moment, God did as he had done in previous years. He asked me to set aside 30 days to pray about Florida, and specifically about the Orlando area. We were over on Anna Maria Island, but God said, pray about Orlando. And so I did that. Put a little iCal reminder in my computer so that I'd remember each day for 30 days to pray for the city of Orlando. So what Renaud would call a marker, right? That we would just sort of place ourselves before God and say, this is just a chance for you to mold my heart, to shape my mind towards your will. And so we did that for 30 days, prayed for the city of Orlando. And here's the thing about prayer. Lots of people throughout the years, throughout the history of faith, have prayed about a lot of things and done a lot of things that they thought God had led them to, that he really hadn't. And so I know that in and of myself, I should not automatically trust what I think God might be telling me, that I needed others to be involved in that. And so my wife and I prayed together, but even in that, I recognized that for such a major decision, we really needed to involve more people in our faith community, in our Christ-following community, to really be praying with us in that, to journey with us as we figure out where God was going to take us next. And so we told my parents, who live in Maine, and they are the quintessential prayer warriors. Like, if you want something prayed about, you go to my parents, it's going to happen. They're going to pray about it every night. And so we told my parents that we were thinking that God might be calling us out, and they said, oh yeah, we already knew that, because they'd been praying every night for us. And they said, yeah, you know, the other night we were praying for you guys, and we just had this overwhelming sense that God was getting ready to do something new through you guys. And we think that you might be moving to the southeast. Okay. Then I sought out wisdom from trusted pastor friends around the country, and they confirmed a lot of this. And then I told my lead pastor, my boss at the time, I said, hey, look, I might be shooting myself in the foot here, but I think God's going to be calling us out in the summer of 2013. He said, okay, I don't want you to go, but you should really consider Orlando, Florida. Okay. You see what God was doing? He was confirming his calling through the community of Christ followers. It's a beautiful thing to watch that happen. Proverbs 15 tells us that there is wisdom in many counselors. We need many counselors speaking into, especially the major decisions in our lives. See, I could probably manipulate my wife into seeing things my way, and she could do the same for me. You know, you spend 15 years together, you learn what buttons to push. But when you're bringing in 5 people, 10 people, who are all tracking with Jesus, who are all pursuing the Holy Spirit, and you say, will you join us in this? It's a lot harder to trick 10 people. So clarity begins to emerge. And I believe that sometimes God speaks to us through visions and dreams. We see this in Acts 2 when God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Well, around this same time that Amy and I were really seeking God's direction and asking for clarity, there was this woman in our church that my wife really wanted to tell about all of this. Her name is Carrie, and she is somebody who just is really in tune with the Spirit. When you talk to her, you know she's spending a lot of time with Jesus. And my wife wanted to bring her in on this so that we could have her wisdom, her prayer in this journey as well. And I kept saying, no, I don't want to tell Carrie, because Carrie was also on staff with us. And I just wasn't ready to let it go to all the other staff. Well, Carrie came to us. And she said, listen, this is going to sound crazy, but I had this dream, and in it, you and Phil, she's telling this to my wife, you and Phil moved away, and it was really good. I don't want you to go, but it was really good, and God did these great things through you, and listen, I don't want you to leave, but if God is calling you out, you've got to do that. You've got to follow that. And there's just one more piece of clarity that we were asking for. And so I pray for clarity, and God gives people dreams. And he gives my parents a word from the Lord. And he calls me to pray for the city of Orlando for 30 days. And he leads one of my closest friends in the world to say, hey, you should consider Orlando, Florida. And it all starts to fall into place, except for one piece. Remember earlier I said that God laid out a plan for the rest of my life. He said, you're to come alongside of highly gifted communicator visionaries. Well, I didn't know who that guy was supposed to be. I didn't know who it was. I had a sense it was probably somewhere in the Orlando area. He was probably serving somewhere in the Orlando area, and I just didn't know who he was. Now, let me just pause for a second, little parentheses here, and say that I have loved Florida from a distance for many years, and I've loved Orlando. And even more specifically than that, I've loved taking my kids to Disney World. Who doesn't, right? And so here's the thing about me. Whenever I do something, like plan a trip, it's not enough for me to just book the tickets and go. Half the fun is research for me. You know, it's all the research and planning the trip. And so you got to get books and you got to read and you got to do all this websites and blogs. You got to get onto all this kind of stuff. That's fun for me. So we're planning this trip to Disney World. This is 6 years ago now. And I buy a guidebook, a couple of guidebooks about Disney World, and I read those cover to cover. And at the beginning of one of them, there was this little kind of 20-page history of Walt Disney World. And I was like, 20 pages? Come on, you're just getting started. So I go out and I get like the big monster history of Walt Disney World, and I read that cover to cover, because I got to do that before I can go on vacation so I can be properly researched, right? But then in the midst of that, I realized, wow, there was this real guy, Walt Disney, and he's this big visionary, and he started this whole thing, and I want to read a biography about him, so I get a biography of him. And then I realized in reading that he had this brother named Roy, who was like, he was like the executive director of Walt Disney, and he kind of made all these dreams come into reality, and I thought, wow, that's so cool. Walt had a brother, Roy, who kind of does what I do, and so I want to read that biography. And so I read his biography, and that was awesome to see all of that. And over the last 6 years, I've kind of read like 20 books about Walt Disney World. I'm slightly embarrassed to admit that, to be honest. But it's an important part of the story, and I share it with you because it is important, as you'll see in just a minute. All right, so fast forward now to late last year. My wife and I are still feeling like God is going to be calling us to the Orlando area. We're still definitely feeling like we're going to be leaving. Summer of 2013, something's going to happen. We didn't know what all the details were. We just knew that there was something that God was brewing out there. And around that same time, I thought, you know, it's been a few years since I've taken the kids to Disney. Why don't I plan another trip? So I start planning this trip. And one day I thought, I should take a look at the iTunes store and just see if maybe there's any new trip planning tools that might be available. So I go into the iTunes store and I type in the words, Walt Disney World. And one of the first things that pops up in the search results is Mosaic Church at Walt Disney World. And I'm like, what is this? Is there really a church at Walt Disney World? That's fantastic. Who would do that? Who would start a church, a campus, just to reach the cast members at a theme park? That's amazing. That is so cool. And so I click on it, and the first sermon listed in this podcast was called The Vision of Mosaic Church at Walt Disney World. And so I'm listening to this, and Brady from the Disney campus is sharing his vision, and that was great to hear. And then he asked Renaud to come up to the microphone and share his vision going back 10 years to when he first started Mosaic Church here and his passion for the people who worked at Disney. And, you know, within 60 seconds or so of Renaud sharing his vision, I thought, this is who I'm supposed to work for. This is who it's supposed to be. And then I quickly dismissed it. I'll tell you why. previously, in the course of praying about where God wanted us to go, we had sensed that we were supposed to stay within the network of church planters that we were a part of, the Acts 29 network. I'd been a part of it since the early days. It's a part of my DNA, and I just didn't want to leave it, and I didn't feel like God wanted me to leave it either. And so that was sort of a requirement, a prerequisite. And so I kind of just dismissed Mosaic Church and Renault and went on with my day. But I was really drawn to Renault's teaching style. And so I decided, you know, I'm just going to podcast the services, and it's good to have another voice in your life. And so I began listening to the podcast from Mosaic Church here. And I was really drawn to it. I was really drawn to the vision. I was drawn to his teaching style. And I thought, you know, I know what it's like to be, I know what it's like to be a pastor and wonder what kind of impact you're having. I bet you it would be encouraging for him to just receive an email knowing that there was some random guy in New York who was listening to his podcast while shoveling snow, right? So I shoot him an email, and I just said, hey, Renaud, you have no idea who I am. I'm at an Acts 29 church in New York. I came across your podcast in a completely random way, but I'm really enjoying it. Just praying for you guys. Love what you're doing with the Disney campus. Blessings to you. Have a great day. That was it. Well, he emailed me back a few days later, and he said, man, it's so great. Thanks for emailing me. It's so great to hear from an Acts 29 guy. I'm actually in the process of joining Acts 29 right now. So I thought, oh, okay. Yeah, you could check that one off the box. So Renaud said, can we schedule a phone call? So we did. And we scheduled that call. And I have to tell you that before I discovered Mosaic, just in the few days and maybe weeks leading up to that, I was really starting to question whether or not I had even heard God correctly, that we were supposed to be leaving. I thought, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe everybody's wrong. Maybe we're supposed to just stay. And really what it was is that I hadn't heard from God in maybe a month or two specifically. I didn't feel like I had been given any clear direction. And so I started to second guess it all. And really what it was is that God needed to get me to a place where I had kind of stepped far enough off the cliff that I couldn't come back. I had to keep moving forward. But I didn't really know where my feet were going to fall. He needed me in that place of vulnerability. My dad, who's been a pastor for 50 years, says, don't doubt in the darkness what God has so clearly shown you in the light. And that's exactly what I was doing. I was doubting in the darkness. So God brought me to a place where I had nowhere else to turn but him. Now, God has created me to be a person who is organized and structured, and I have plans for everything. It drives my wife crazy. And that's good, but with every skill set, there's always a shadow side where our sinfulness can creep in, right? And so for me, the shadow side of my skill set is that I can really feel like I don't need God. Like I can just do this on my own. I can figure this out. You know, who even needs the Holy Spirit? I can just figure this out on my own. And you know, God can use things, but that's not God speaking, then it's us speaking. And so I had reached the end of myself. I couldn't function out of my own gift set anymore. I needed to be at a place where I realized I have no idea what I'm supposed to do next. 1 Peter 5 tells us to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I needed to be humbled before God could raise me up to do something new. Okay, back to the story. So Renaud and I scheduled this phone call. And a few days before that happens, one morning, God wakes me up, bolt upright, like wide awake, 5 a.m., bam, awake. And the first thing that comes to mind is, pray for Renaud. Pray for the staff at Mosaic Church. Pray for everybody at Mosaic Church. Pray for the city of Orlando. And so I did that briefly, and then I went back to sleep because I was tired. And the next morning, it happens again. Except this time it's 4 a.m. Pray for Renault. Pray for the staff at Mosaic. Pray for Mosaic Church. Pray for the city of Orlando. And look, we can make it 3 a.m. tomorrow, so you might as well just get up and do this and obey me. So I get up out of bed, and I go downstairs and turn on the light, and I'm praying, and I'm praying for Renault. I'm praying for you guys. I'm working my way through the list of the staff on the website, and I'm praying for each person by name. And I'm thinking about this phone call that's coming up with this pastor in Orlando who is joining Acts 29 Network and is doing this cool stuff with Disney and all these great things that are going on at this church. And I'm like, wow, this is so cool. I wonder what God's going to do through this. I can't wait to tell him all about my growing burden for the city of Orlando and this belief that God might be calling us here. And God just kind of whispered to me and said, yeah, I don't actually want you to tell him about any of that. And I thought, what? Well, why would I leave out the most important part of this story in talking with Renault in a few days? Why would I leave that out? That's clearly the most important part, is to tell him all about how God is calling us to the city of Orlando. And God said, well, here's the thing. If you tell him, then you get the glory. And I want the glory, because I'm God. And you're not. So just get out of my way. Let me do this. So I said, okay, all right. I will keep my mouth shut. And I remember thinking, this doesn't make any sense at all, but I've got to obey. If I don't obey in this, I will be that terribly disobedient person who decides that my wisdom is better than God's wisdom. So I kept my mouth shut. And I get to the phone call with Renault. And after the initial chit-chat, getting to know each other a little bit, he says to me, hey, so Phil, last night I was having dinner with a local pastor here in the Orlando area. He's a part of the Acts 29 Network. And I mentioned to him that I had this phone call scheduled with this executive pastor from a church, an Acts 29 church in New York. And this guy says to Renault, oh, that must be Phil Taylor. And he said, yeah, actually, it is Phil Taylor. He said, oh, I've known Phil. I've known him for years. He's a great guy. You know, funny thing about Phil, he's sensing a call to the Orlando area. And so the night before I'm to have this phone call, God has already gone ahead and said, I'm working this out. Do you see this? I'm taking care of this. And there's just no way that I could take any glory for that moment. And over the next few months, Amy and I continued to labor in prayer for Mosaic and for the staff. And Renault and I continued to talk, and that led to a formal interview process. And we moved here in July. And as I look back over this two-year journey that we've been on, that has brought us to this place right now, and I ask myself, what is the most important lesson that God has shown us in all of this? It's this. I realize that I can gain wisdom from a lot of different places. We all can, right? There's lots of great sources for wisdom. You know, if you want to figure out how to run an organization in a better way, there's all sorts of business books you can read, and you can go to counselors, and you can go to wise people in different areas of specialty. You can even make really good decisions on your own with the brain that God has given you, and it may work out just fine. And it may be just fine that you did that. But when you do that, when I do that, who gets the glory? Well, I do. You do. And listen, I want the glory. Because my heart is an idol factory. And there is a big statue that I have built, and it looks like me, and I love to worship it. That's who we are. That's who we are. But when I submit things to God in prayer, and I step out and I say, God, this is your story. You do this. I don't want to get in the way of you. And I just bathe those things in prayer. And at the end of that, God is the one who gets the glory. See, we think that when we pray for direction, that what we're doing is we're saying, God, we need to make a decision. We want you to be involved, so you help us make this decision, and then we'll know what to do. And that the purpose of the praying and the decision making is so that you have direction on what you're supposed to do with your future. And that's an aspect of it. But if that's the end of the story, who is the center of that story? You are. But if it's about God's glory, then when we seek out direction from Him, and God writes a story that only God could write, and we look in and we say, look at this artist who has done this. It's got God's fingerprints all over it. Then God gets the glory. And so in the midst of your story, God is the one who's receiving that glory. And yet when we try to do it on our own, it's all about us. Revelation 4:11 has this great statement of worship. It says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." On my own, I am an arrogant, prideful, self-centered, self-seeking, self-promoting fool. But in Christ, I am saved through His blood. And God places His Holy Spirit into me. And because that Holy Spirit whispers into my ear to seek His power and to seek His wisdom and to seek His discernment, and because Jesus takes that arrogance and pride and He heaps that upon His back and He says, "I'm going to carry this." Because of that, we are freed up as Christ followers to do what God has called us to do. For me, that means helping a church shine an even brighter light on Jesus. And when we do that, when we're freed up to do what God has called us to do, God receives the glory, not us. God receives the glory. I am so glad to be here with you guys. I'm so excited to see what God's going to do through us together. This is an amazing church. You guys know that. This is an amazing church. I believe we're on the front end of what God is calling us to as a church. There are so many great things that God's going to do in the coming years through this community, through you. And so I just pray blessings upon you, and I'm so excited to be here with you. I'm going to invite the band back up to the stage, and I'm going to close in prayer. Father God, thank you for this community of faith. Thank you for the way that you've called each and every person that is in this room to this church at this time. And Lord, we know that churches exist for a period of time, and in the grand scheme of church history, we are a blip on the radar, and yet you've chosen to use us right now, right here, to bring your gospel, to spread your mission to this geography that you've called us to, and that out of that, it can even spread farther. So God, I pray that we would be open and ready and willing to do whatever you call us into. And in the midst of that, we would bring all of those decisions to you in prayer, that it wouldn't be out of our wisdom, but out of your wisdom, so that you receive the glory. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.